And in a way, becoming a Mitra is a way of just declaring that that's the case. Right? Just sort of saying, I want to do this, yeah, and I want to do it here as best I can. And when one becomes a Mitra, the sort of process of becoming a Mitra, the sort of mechanics of becoming a Mitra, are of a ritual act which makes that declaration. So all that happens, it's very simple actually, and it ties right back into the whole of the Buddhist tradition, is that in the context of a puja, one makes an offering of a flower and a candle and a stick of incense. So three traditional offerings. You can see them as symbolizing the three jewels. You can see them, there are a whole bunch of associations with them. If you see them in that respect, then the candle is said to represent the Buddha, the sort of light of enlightenment. The flower is said to represent the Dharma. It's beautiful and it's impermanent. It communicates the truth of change. Incense is said to represent the spiritual community, that sort of sense of connection spreads out through the room, touching everybody, as it were. You can see them as ethics, meditation and wisdom as well. There's a connection there with incense as ethics. Ethical practice has subtle effects, you know, we make little changes and it reaches out, penetrates. I'm going to struggle with the other two correlations, and Diopakshini is frowning at me as though I've completely made this up, so maybe we'll just gloss over that, edit it out of the tape. No one will ever know. But what's important about this is in a way, is that it is witnessed by people who can really understand its significance. It's witnessed by people who have made similar steps themselves. Other mitras and order members. And order members are an order member doesn't stop becoming a mitra because they're an order member in a way. You know, we've almost all. There's about three order members who never became mitras, but hardly any. You know, largely for practical reasons. But somebody who understands how important that is, who can witness it. But also, you know, your peers, the people who've been doing it with you, the people who've been coming onto classes and courses with you. And perhaps those, you know, your family or your friends come along, people who, although they might not quite know about the mechanics of what you do here, they know, they've come to see that it's very important to you. They've come to see perhaps the changes that have taken place in you whilst you've been coming here. And so they're able to come and sort of a witness in that sort of way. So specifically we talk about it in terms, we unpack these declarations. We see it in terms of a declaration that one considers oneself to be a Buddhist, which is a tricky one to pin down, actually. Of the three, this is probably the most difficult. This can be a sticking point for people, actually. It's interesting that in recent years we've made the process of becoming a Mitra much more straightforward. But actually, in the past, you didn't actually have to declare that you were a Buddhist. Although the criteria are much more rigorous, and we maybe get into what they were later on. Although it's not that relevant now. In a way, all you're doing is saying that, you know, the goal of human enlightenment is your goal. Yeah? You're committed to the ideal of fulfilling your potential, absolutely fulfilling your potential, and that you see that potential as. In as vast a way as the Buddhist tradition does. That's how I would describe it anyway. And that in order to do that, you understand that you need to practice, and you intend to practice to the best of your ability, which effectively we talk about as the practice of ethics, but of course we also mean the practice of meditation. We also mean coming to understand and know the Dharma more fully. I've quoted before this business of... These are sometimes called the three trainings, or Robert Thurman translates this to the three educations: an education in ethics, an education in meditation, and an education in wisdom. So it's a kind of, well, in order to fulfill that path, that in order to get there, we understand that we're going to have to do something, and what we're going to have to do is work on ethics, meditation, and wisdom. And that you say, and you're saying, well, actually, you know, I want to do it within here, you know, within the context of the FWBO, because what I know of the FWBO makes sense to me. Yeah? This particular approach to practicing Buddhism seems to work for me. You know, it kind of hangs together. Some people respond, just, you know, some people have very strong responses to Tibetan Buddhism, to Theravada and Southeast Asian Buddhism. Some people have very strong responses to the Zen tradition. So they might get involved in those schools. We have people coming to this center. We have Madhrakara, who comes along, who's ordained in another tradition, but still finds what's available here very useful to him. So he wouldn't become a Mitra, but he can still be involved. So in becoming a Mitra, you're saying, well, for the time being, at least as far as I can tell, this is the context in which I want to do this. I would say that if you're sincere about doing it, if you're committed to it, my friend Vasantra once gave a talk about why I'm a Buddhist, and he said, in a way, it's an implication of the commitment I've made as a Dharma practitioner, that if I found something that worked better, I'm obliged to go and do that, in a way. You know, the commitment is about pursuing truth wherever it takes you. And if it turns out that there's another tradition that can support your practice more effectively, in a way, not doing that would be a betrayal of the commitment that you make as an order member. Actually, that's certainly how I see it. I know not all people will say that way, but so for the time being, this makes sense to me. As much as I know of it so far, this will, you know, this is where I want to do. So it's not just joining a club, yeah? Becoming a Mitra isn't just sort of, oh, I've been coming here for a while, I feel like I'm one of the crowd, you know, and I want that rubber stamp to say that I'm a member now, yeah? Because it's an assertion that you say, you know, you want to do this because you share the same values, share the same intentions, yeah? It's back to this business of a mutual coincidence of wills, yeah? You don't ever join a spiritual community, yeah? You can only engage in the collective process of creating it. Yeah? You can't have a spiritual community that exists and then you come along and say, "Can I join, please?" You know, you can only be part of the process. Spiritual community is something which is actively created, in the same way as you can't be a Buddhist if you don't practice. Yeah? But being a Buddhist is something that one does, you know, every moment of the day, in a way, to the best of one's abilities, because it's about working with one's mind, working with one's behaviour, working with one's speech. Spiritual community, Sangha, is the same thing. It only exists, we're only a member of the spiritual community, that we articulate being in relation with others in pursuit of those ideals that we share with them. So, okay, you come along, you make your offering of your candle, your stick of incense, your flower, whatever it is they might mean. Then what? Well, in a way, then what? Then nothing. You know, you just keep practicing the same way. You just keep on with your practice. Nothing, in a way, nothing much changes when you become a Mitra. And at the same time, well, you heard who was it? Paula said last week that it was one of the most happy days of her life. The process, you know, the day she became a Mitra was, you know, extraordinary. You know, it's an uplifting thing. So a huge amount happens and nothing happens. It's the same when you get ordained, in a way. You know, actually, what happened was somebody put this bit of cloth around my neck, you know. I went from 1 second, I didn't have a bit of cloth around my neck and I was Alan Pennington Ashley. 2 seconds later, I had this around my neck and I was Nyanagarbha. And I looked at it and thought, must be some mistake. But you just do the same thing, you know. Before enlightenment, chopping wood and hewing water. After enlightenment, chopping wood and hewing water. You know, before becoming a mitra, you make the tea for people, you wash the dishes at the end of the class. After becoming a mitra, you wash the tea for people, you make wash the dishes at the end of the class. You know. Actually, yeah, things do change. There are some different things. What you've done is you've made a commitment. You've articulated a commitment. And the other mitras, the other order members, the order members in the situation, well, you know, we enter into a sort of contract then. We enter into a sort of, we more actively enter into a commitment to try and support you in your practice, support mitras in their practice, to the best of our abilities, to the best of our abilities. And that will vary from centre to centre. It will vary from individual to individual. And it'll vary over time. You know, sometimes the support systems are very good and effective. Sometimes they're a bit, you know, they're a bit less so. They're a bit more stretched. But we'll try and do our best to provide some sort of appropriate study, and we'll say a bit more about that. People will try and keep in touch with you, try and just sort of make sure that your practice is, you know, what we can do to help you keep your practice alive and functioning. When one has become a mitra at this centre or any other centre, then you can go to any other FWBO group or centre around the world, and that will be recognised. You know, you'll be welcomed as a brother or a sister in the Dharma, really. It was one of the really lovely things about going over to India earlier this year, was meeting mitras and order members from over there, and just that sense of trust, understanding, a shared viewpoint, even with people who we barely shared, you know, could barely share some language with, just a very limited number of words. Just this sense that we're all engaged in the same project. It was very lovely, actually. Very lovely.